So how is that? I said, how is that? Closer? It's not on?
He doesn't hear a thing.
Mm-hmm. Is there a switch on here?
That's the maximum.
Okay. Can you hear now? So it's very close. Welcome to the inquiry session. I will first of all explain the form. You will see that there's another microphone and an empty cushion here. That's for one of you. The inquiry process is just that. It's a dialogue, an investigation. It is not the opportunity for you to come up and give a speech, okay? Just making that clear. At any time during the inquiry, you can say thank you and leave, or I can say thank you and you also leave. So, you see whose hands the power is in. Just kidding. So together, we inquire on a Dharma theme. So the invitation is to come with a question. And the question can be something that's arisen from your practice, something that's arisen from the Dharma talk here perhaps, the wonderful Dharma talk we had this afternoon. It may be that you've been reflecting on something. It may be that you have an issue in your practice or an experience that you would like to explore. The aim, of course, is liberation for one and all. Now, those listening have a really important role. Although you're being silent, I would ask you to sit very still with incredibly respectful silence, because you're holding the space for the inquiry to take place. And so you're actually, as listeners, really participating in what's happening. And your role is actually a very important one. You're asked to listen not only to what is being said, but to your inner responses. And sometimes, of course, you'll find yourself identifying with what's being said. At other times, you'll find yourself perhaps being a little critical, or a bit impatient, or thinking it's taking too long, or you might find yourself evaluating and think, oh, right, I should have said that, and so on. So there's all kinds of processes that go on while you're listening for you to pay attention to. So the inward processes and the listening to what is being said outwardly. Between each inquiry, we'll have some time just to sit quietly for a few minutes. And then I'll ring the bell and make the invitation for the next person. So let's begin by sitting quietly together for a minute or two, and then we'll start. And there is a recorder on here. If you don't wish to be recorded, then please say so. Yes, please come. If you would just say your name, please.
Leo.
So what is your question?
It's about the meditation in the sitting and the walking.
Yes.
And I feel my body. And I want to ask how, maybe what is the right approach to do, because there's a lot of thoughts all of the time. So it feels the same thoughts, the same narratives going back and back. And it seems like it's okay because I know the thoughts. So it seems like it doesn't bother, but there's a lot of pain in the body most of the time. Perhaps tiredness and a sense of sleepiness and sameness, as though things are the same. So I see things different, changing, but it feels the same. It feels flat, and maybe what can bring to insight? What is a penetrating approach?
Okay. So what can bring about insight?
Yes.
So let's start with the walking. So you said you're walking and thoughts arise.
Yes.
Could you give me an example, please?
Yes, maybe song. I find myself singing and I find a song playing in my head.
Okay.
Is that okay or another example?
Okay. So sometimes you're walking, walk, and a song appears in your head. Is that problematic or unproblematic?
I think it's problematic because yeah, of course it's problematic.
Oh! And why is that? Do you not like to sing?
Not constantly for hours.
Okay. So, the thoughts keep coming. When the song's running through your head, where's your attention?
I think it's on
where is the self? Where is the sense of I? The song's running through your head. You're walking.
Ah, maybe the listener to the song. I listen to the song.
You listen to the song? Yes. You listen to the song, but what else? Do you like it or not like it?
No.
Ah. So, there's aversion to the thought. Yes, got it?
No.
Do you understand aversion?
Yes.
Okay. So, we hear something. So we see, hear, smell, taste, touch, think. The song words arise in your mind. And the I thought, the listener, goes, I don't like this happening.
Yes.
Ah. Okay. So this is the process. The I is landing on or resting in disliking. Isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Are there times when you have a song occur to you in your head and the I thought and the listener likes it?
I think it doesn't happen that much.
Okay. But it's a possibility that you could like it to think about a song.
Ah, of course. Of course it's a possibility.
Okay. So we have established that we can like the song or dislike the song.
Yes.
Okay. When you dislike the song, what happens next?
I feel like some head fog, maybe a bit of things going on in my body, like trying to do something, maybe trying to focus on something else to get
interest. There's agitation. What's your desire?
For something interesting and healing. Yeah.
What else? You're walking along, the song's in your head, you don't like it. What's your desire?
For it to stop?
Yes. It's for the absence of the song. Isn't it? It's for peace. It's you want it to stop. So here we have a thought in your mind. We have the unpleasant feeling. We have the desire arising in relationship to that. And the desire says, I want this song to stop. I'm going crazy with this song.
Okay.
So the self has formed around I am listening to another part of myself, and I can't stand it.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. Does this sound familiar? We have a thought, and then we have a reaction to the thought. We don't like it. Or, on the other hand, as we heard this morning, we really like it. So we have liking and disliking that arises in the mind over and over and over, countless times in a day. And this needs to be seen and understood. What would a wise relationship to the disliking be?
I guess to be soft with it and accept it.
Someone actually listened last night. So if you soften the view, because whenever you're in resistance to it, it just stays there more and more and more, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Whenever there's a desire for it to go away and it's there, you're locked into suffering. You're locked into mental anguish. There's no peace.
No peace.
Okay. We're getting there. So, one thing you could do is just soften your resistance to the fact that it's happening. What else could you do?
I know, something completely else. Something completely else.
Yes. So, you could take the attention. So the I thought is landing in the mental formations, the thoughts, isn't it?
Yes.
You're listening to your thoughts, and then you're having a feeling reaction to it. And the feeling reaction is, I don't like it, I can't stand it, I wish it would stop, I want it to go away, there's no peace, and why did I come to the retreat anyway? And so on. You might not be doing the last bit yet. But this is the thought process, isn't it? We get locked into some kind of aversion or resistance, and we need to find a way through. So one way through, the beginning of the way through, is to soften. What else would help?
Insight, maybe.
Uh-huh. What's the particular insight?
Letting go of something, freeing up.
Yeah. What would the something be?
The way I see my behavior or what I'm doing here. I'm trying to find the words. It would be letting go of my ambitions.
Yes.
From the retreat.
And what's your ambition?
For something big to happen.
Yes. Yes. Well seen, well seen. So the desire is, I want to wake up. I want some big meditation experience. I want peace. I want, you know, some kind of imagined bliss. Yes? Okay. So, could we please let go of that? Having seen it, could it just be left somewhere? In there? No? Somewhere?
Of course.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So letting go of the desire for some kind of special experience on the retreat. Okay, so we're getting there. So letting go of that. What embraces both liking and disliking?
Again, what do you mean?
What
disliking of what?
Embraces. Do you know what embraces?
Ah, okay, okay.
To
hug. Understand.
What would embrace or include both liking and disliking?
It would be enjoying of the
yeah, good.
Yeah.
Keep going. It would be what? Enjoying of what?
Enjoying of the simple things.
Oh, exactly right. So it would be to enjoy the simple things just as they are, rather than how you imagine them to be, or how you would like them to be, or how you expect them to be.
Yes.
On the retreat.
Yes.
Beautiful. When you do that, when you just enjoy the simple things, what happens to the sense of I, the you?
It feels that it comes more from the emotion that I feel myself more at the emotion and less in the thought, more in the body.
Yes.
More in the heat of the body and less in the thought.
Okay.
Yes?
Yes, no? Yes. So, say a little bit more about what it feels like to be in the body.
It feels hot.
Hot?
Pretty hot, yes. Because otherwise, when I'm in thought, many times I feel colder or a bit of pain. And mm-hmm. when I'm more in the body, it feels hotter.
Okay, so there's some warmth that comes.
Yeah.
In English, we'd say, there's some warmth that comes with the feeling world, and there's often some warmth that comes with the joy of simplicity. The joy of just being with what is, rather than being caught in the world of how we'd like things to be. Okay. So, just to summarize. When we're caught up in aversion and dislike, the sense of I lands in the feeling world, but then with the thought world, we add to it by saying, this isn't how my retreat should be. I wanted it to be different. So you see? And then you get caught in the suffering. Then you get caught in the unsatisfactory experience. So just to come back, what would bring you release from this problem?
If I say okay, I'm willing to be satisfied with this.
Thank you. Sit for a few minutes. Yes, please. Anybody? Hello. So if you could please say your name.
This was hard to get up.
Mm-hmm. What was hard about getting up?
The fear. I wanted to ask about decision making.
What in particular? Okay, you decide.
I can decide. I'm lucky enough to have encountered the Dharma a few years back.
Yes.
And very lucky to get many benefits of it and see the change in many things, including decision making,
mm-hmm.
And I've noticed that very heavy or a big pattern that I have is that it's very hard to make decisions, small, very small or big, and I do see the change. Like it's an ongoing pattern. I know it since I'm a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
I do see the change in my relationship to, like, the drama is not as big as it used to be.
Okay.
But it is still always just not easy. It could be a very small thing.
Okay. Is there a particular decision that you're trying to make in your life at the moment?
Yes.
Would you like to tell us what that is?
I'm just trying to figure out how to make it short in words. But I've been traveling for a while.
Yes.
Eventually, I've been to a place in Australia.
I remember.
Thank you. Did you? So I've been traveling for a year, and then I came back, and then I've been traveling in Israel, well, just moved around in Israel, and then I stopped, and now I have a place and a small
mm-hmm.
job, which I kind of know is not the right job for me.
And didn't you ask me about decision making in Australia?
Did I?
In the year. Absolutely you did. I think so.
And I have no memory of it.
Anyway, go on.
Did I?
Do I have the right person? You were at the yurt in Byron Bay. Yeah. Ah, yes, you asked me.
What did you say?
It was something you didn't want to hear.
Obviously, didn't
I? Okay, come on. Keep going.
Yeah, so it's not very specific. It's about what to do, how to do it. Should I stay? Should I go? Should I move on? Should I just find a house? Should I? It's okay. Kind of a, yeah. But
all right. Is the fear that you spoke about related to the indecision?
Fear just now of getting up?
Fear generally, and fear of getting up. Shall I get up here? Is a decision. Is fear related to the indecision?
indecision, lo lachlit.
Inability to make a decision.
I guess so.
Okay. What's your fear?
I don't think it's about making the wrong decision.
You don't think?
I don't think it's that.
Okay. What is it then?
I'm afraid to get sucked in to the routine, to the mainstream, to the non-seeing, to what's very, very common around me. So I'm afraid by making a decision that the path might lead me there. And I really.
So you're afraid that if you make a decision that the path might lead you to a boring mundane life. Okay. How boring and mundane has your life been so far?
Oh, nice. Thrilling.
Oh. And did you live this life without ever making a decision?
Did you ask again?
It seems to me that you couldn't possibly have lived a brilliant life and not made a decision.
Yes, I made a decision at the end. Just like coming here was, this time was, took a while.
Okay.
Like I decided Tuesday morning, finally.
Okay. So the fear is not of making the wrong decision, but of making a decision that leads you somewhere you don't want to go. And your desire for this life is what?
That's a big question.
I only ask big questions.
Mm-hmm.
What's your desire for this life? You're talking about making very important decisions about your life. You don't want an ordinary life. You want a full, rich, adventurous life. And there's some fear there. What's your desire? What's your deepest desire for this life?
Being quiet,
Okay. What are the tears?
Oh, I always cry.
Okay. So are the tears related to being sad or being happy?
I think not having the answer for this important question, I think it's, I guess it's sadness right now for not knowing basic question like that, I think.
Okay.
So sad.
Okay, so sad that you don't quite know what's most important for you. I actually wonder if you do. You know what you don't want. You don't want boring mundane. What do you want? And we're talking about not problematic desire, but what I'm talking about is the deep longing of your heart. Are you censoring what you're saying or thinking?
Yeah.
You go to speak and then you put down the mic. You go to speak and you put it down.
Am I censoring?
Yeah, censoring. Are you?
Censored.
Yeah. Are you doing that?
I might be overthinking what just comes up.
Yes. Yes. More than might be overthinking. You are overthinking what just comes up. So, let me ask again. What is your deepest longing for this life?
Love. Or being loved. Or intimacy with men experiencing the retreats when it's so simple. So, I guess this connection of which is so simple, that's okay. Maybe.
So, your deepest longing is for profound connection, love, and intimacy. Yes? Yes or no?
Sure, yes.
Say a little more. You've got a whole lot of people listening. Could we start with a bit more intimacy with those people in the room? Could you just have a look around the room instead of down here like this? Can you allow yourself a little more? Can you allow yourself to feel some connection? What do you see? What do you sense as you look around?
Many smiling faces.
Hey.
Some familiar.
Yes.
Some not.
Yes.
Good eyes.
Yes. It's a great view from up here.
Yeah. Sensation in the body.
Uh-huh.
Connected embarrassment.
Uh-huh.
But quiet.
What else is happening here?
Sensation here, it's good. It's alive.
So, it's what, sorry?
Alive in here.
Yes. So your heart is alive. Do you feel some connection here? Looking around? Can you allow yourself to feel some connection?
Sure. Yeah.
And what's that like?
Embarrassing and good.
Ah. So the eyes landing on I'm embarrassed or I'm self-conscious. Yes? And there's also a feeling of what? Joy.
Yes.
So when you just look and receive the connection. Keep doing it. Look around.
How it is.
When you do that,
decision.
Well, we're coming there. We're coming right there, right now. Talk about overthinking. She's doing my job as well. So looking around, feeling connected, feeling joy, big, big smile. Is there any decision to be made?
No.
No buts. Okay? No buts. Connection, joy, and love are your deepest goals. I just saw them manifest here and now, and there's no decision to be made. Thank you. I'm sitting for a few minutes. Yes, anybody?
Hi.
Hi. Can you say your name, please?
Shira. Now I feel fine and
yes.
Quiet. But today I didn't feel like this. And I wanted to ask how can I deal with physical pain?
Okay. So earlier today you had physical pain?
Yes, and it was like 2 days in a row, so I freaked out.
Okay, and then what happened for the pain to subside?
I took a pill in the end.
Thank you. Okay.
Two.
And so now the pain is gone?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's one option, I suppose.
Yeah.
What was so distressing about the pain?
I think that in some point I started to feel sorry for myself.
Yes.
And like I'm so miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little bit judging myself for feeling miserable, because
mm-hmm.
I'm not miserable.
Mm-hmm.
So
I have pain and I don't want it. And what else? Everybody else is meditating really well and I'm not? Something like that? Did you compare yourself with others?
No.
Okay, good.
Yes. But in some point I felt that I, like in a mess,
yes.
But I don't think that I compared myself to others.
Okay. So, say a little more about your relationship to pain, usually. When you have a pain, how do you deal with it?
So before like half a year from now,
mm-hmm.
I started to have migraines.
Yes.
Every single day.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh no, this is too much.
Yes. Yeah. Like Sunday, Monday, blah, 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 every
yeah.
single
yes.
day. And I learned a little bit
mm-hmm.
about
mm-hmm.
how to deal with
mm-hmm.
pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to patient therapy?
Yes.
In some kind of system?
Pain management clinic?
No, it's called Greenberg system.
Okay.
So it helps, and I also learned about paying attention to the pain and see the changes.
Yes.
In the pain, and sometimes it get harder and softer and change the place.
Yes.
So I'm trying to do that.
Okay, so pain is an overarching term, isn't it, for a lot of different sensations. And just as you pointed out, the pain shifts and changes. The sensations shift and change.
Yes.
What else do you know about pain?
It comes and
goes. Yes. Yeah. It comes and goes.
Yes.
So the pain itself, no matter how terrible, is impermanent.
Yes.
We know from our experience that the pain will pass, the pain will cease.
Yes, but I think that for a long time now,
mm-hmm.
it does not pass.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't take a pill.
Mm. migraines are a particularly difficult thing, and they're not totally understood, and there's lots of dietary things that people try, but there's, as far as I know, no real cure at the moment. And different people have different responses. And trying to be mindful of the pain and use our attention to lessen the pain and only take medication when we absolutely have to is a wise relationship to the pain.
Yes.
Have you tried any other methods of dealing with the pain?
I'm trying to press the the dots that hurt and breathe.
Okay.
And,
okay. So you're actually doing lots of different things in order to manage the pain.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still feeling sorry for yourself?
Now not, but when it hurts for a very long time, then I sometimes having trouble to stop the thinking and the things.
And honestly, I think most people in your position would be feeling distressed with an unbearable level of pain. However, what we do is the pain is one thing. We add to the pain with our fears, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
We add to the pain by feeling sorry for ourselves. What are the thoughts that you have? When it's really, really bad, what are the thoughts that you have?
I like sometimes fighting in the thoughts that I know that keeping it. Like, I having bad thoughts about it, and I'm feeling sorry for myself, and then I'm trying to push them away, and it keeps it even more.
Okay, good. So, great awareness. You realize that the resistance to the pain, and the fear of the pain, and the thoughts about the pain add to it and actually keep it in place.
Yes.
So our thoughts contribute another level of pain. There's the physical pain. Every single person alive has felt physical pain. We add to our physical pain, however, with our mental anguish through our thoughts and the mental formations and constructions that you can do something about.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of really getting to know yourself. And so when you have thoughts like, this is never going to end, I'm never going to get better, why is this happening to me? Do you have those sorts of thoughts?
Yes.
Yes? Okay, what else?
I have no power for this anymore.
Yes. I can't cope with this anymore.
Yes.
When we think like this, we add another level of mental anguish to the pain itself. And our Dharma practice is to see into that. So, are you feeling okay now?
Yes.
Anyway, I would like you to make sure you get plenty of rest tonight. If you need to sleep in the morning, do that. Okay? Really take good care.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I do appreciate that sometimes in this body we have really difficult levels of pain to deal with. And it does seem awfully unfair. And it's hard. And I think it's hard for anybody. So know that and take care. But try not to add to it with the mental formations and ideas and constructions, because that only makes it worse. And we'll see.
Thank you.
And take care.
Thank you.
So tonight we've had three inquiries, and to some extent they've all been about thought. I wonder why, Leela. So, the Buddha taught, as Leela pointed out today, that there's two kinds of thoughts. There's thoughts that lead to liberation and freedom, and there's thoughts that lead to suffering and sorrow. And we need to know which is which. We need to know which is the junk food. We need to know ourselves exceedingly well and catch the thought that we know only leads to suffering. And when we do this, we have insight into what's happening. We're informed by the freedom. We're informed by our awareness. Our awareness of what's going on reveals our freedom. Our heart has the capacity to embrace liking and disliking. So, we all experience the pleasant and the unpleasant, the good and the bad, the difficult. We just heard having a migraine is exceedingly difficult. It would be difficult for every single person in this room. So there's the painful and the pleasant. There's gain and loss. There's all of the dualities. And our heart has the capacity to be with them. Yet there's a particular kind of being with them that we need to know and practice in the world of Dharma. And it's to be with the liking and the disliking, to be with the thoughts, shall I do this or shall I do that? To be with that without fixing to a position. So to be with it with a heart of non-abiding. So not grasping anywhere. So our freedom comes when we bring our awareness to what's happening. We see it. We see the liking and the disliking. But we don't then automatically be compelled by our desire. We usually want the pleasant and don't want the unpleasant. So, in the face of liking and disliking, the way through is equanimity and not fixing anywhere. So it's called in the Dharma the heart of non-grasping. So not grasping to liking and disliking. So abiding nowhere. This is the depth of the Dharma. When we abide nowhere, we know peace, we know freedom. We're no longer caught up in I, me and my, and what I happen to want and what I don't want. This is our freedom, and it's how we find it. So thank you very much for listening. Thank you to those who inquired. I deeply appreciate it. If we could just have 30 seconds of silence to end the inquiry. May the beings see beyond liking and disliking. May all beings follow the deepest longing of the heart. And may all beings know profound love and joy. So now a short walking meditation before the metta at 21:30. Thank you.